Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy B.I.G. A.N.T. back with another episode and another season of the Can I Kick It podcast. Today, I'm with my boy Martinez Got Jokes, another episode of the TRC. We're doing top 10 hook mans, hook writers, hook singers, whatever you want to call them, artists. We got top 10 lists for each other. That's 20. Hopefully, they're not the same. You know, as always, me and Chris be getting shit the same every time. But thank you for stopping by, and you guys already know the vibes. If you're new here, we appreciate you. If you've been rocking with us, we appreciate you even more. See you guys in the podcast. Peace. What it is, what it do, my beautiful podcast people. It's your boy B.I.G. A.N.T. Got my boy Martinez Got Jokes with me. Say what's up about it, big dog.
Man, what's good? What's good, people? Can you hear me, bro? Don't want to get cut off.
I can hear you. I can hear you a little bit. Hopefully it doesn't mess up like it was before, but we'll see if we can get the train rolling. But other than that, I think we're good. So how you been, first of all?
Man, I've been all right, bro. I've been just been working. Today I slept all fucking day. Just woke up at 6 p.m. Reminds me of my hangover days. Good times, good shit. But nah, bro. I've been chilling, dog. How you been, bro? How's everything?
I've been good too, man. Keeping busy. You know, trying to do new things for the podcast. Got a couple of guests lined up. I got some things in the works. I got some ideas I want to start putting on the paper, start doing. But it's just fucking COVID, man. it's messing up my plans, man.
Speaking of that, people, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel now with all the episodes on there. You feel me? I uploaded the last of the old episodes on that motherfucker. It only took about a month, but it's up now.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, obviously, and I haven't said anything of it, Chris has been working on the YouTube. I gave him all the power and authority for that. He's the video guy of the group, obviously. Cause all I can do is make IG stories and IGTV. So, but it is up there. So if you guys are interested, I will be posting the link in the info page that's on my Podbean website. So along with all of our socials and everything like that, we'll give you guys the link to that. So if you guys are wanting to catch up and don't have your phone or not on an app, you can just go on YouTube on your TV or your computer or whatever and pull this up if you happen to be on there. So. Always good to catch up. So everybody needs to go ahead and thank Chris for that, because I started doing that when I first started the podcast, and I haven't updated it since season 2. So
yeah.
I'm lazy. So like I stated earlier, season 8 is 80 episodes, and 20 or 25 of those are with us together. So It's crazy to say that, and it's crazy for you to actually still be rocking with us too and still here. 20 plus, I gotta count over, but I know it's over 20 by now. And it's just crazy, man. I made a video and I showed appreciation to everybody that's been stopping by. If I know you, if I don't know you, whatever or wherever you listen to us, you know, like I said, every now and then I give you guys an episode where I go over my stats, and I've gotten listeners from all over the world. You know, I mean, We had stories, we talked about it, Australia, Mexico, Brazil, Dominican Republic, the list goes on. Everywhere in the United States, I think everybody's at least listened to my podcast 1 to 5 times in every state so far. More prominently, you know where I get most of my listeners besides Florida, obviously, because the home team. But if you had to guess which other state has the most listens to the Can I Kick It podcast, like if you had to pick, where would you pick?
Let's see. fucking Idaho.
No. Surprisingly, it's California.
Oh, really? That's dope.
Yeah, so all the way on the other side of the United States, I get a lot of my other listeners in Cali. And I don't know if that has to do with the Kush Gang sponsor, because he does have a lot of friends and important people over there. And he actually has, I think he has like certain individual shops over there that are actually selling his merch. So it might be a mixture of both, because I know Zay knows a lot of people over there on the West Coast. He actually just came back from the West Coast, I think like a month or two ago. So. Yeah, speaking of Zay Man himself, you guys already know. Also, Kush Gang, kushgang.com. Use my coupon code KICKIT10. That's KICKIT number 10 to get 10% off your next online order. Like I said, shirts, hoodies, long sleeves, short sleeves, face masks, backpacks, it's all there. Support your boy Zay. Support the podcast. Tell somebody you love them. Today's episode. Are you ready for this one? This one is a doozy.
Yeah, we had a little pre-conversation before, and this is going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, I really hope. I know that a majority, I think, are going to be the same, but I think there's maybe three or four in there that are on my list that I don't think that are on your list. I mean, I'm hoping not, but if it is, it is. Mm-hmm. But because we do have a very similar taste when it comes to these lists. Don't matter if it's 90s hip-hop, what else did we do? 2000s hip-hop. We did favorite songs from artist spotlights that ended up being the same, especially like around like Wayne and Drake, when we did Wayne and Drake. Yeah. So it should definitely be a dope episode. I don't know if you want to go one for one, or you just want to give the entire list with some examples.
We could go one for one, because we don't have a multitude of subjects, so we could go one for one. That's fine. But mine aren't in order, people. Mine are just written down.
Okay, so you don't have them in order. You just have them listed.
Yeah, like my first four may be in order, and then after that is written out.
All right, cool. I guess I don't know. I don't know if mine are really in order. Let me see real quick. It does not look like it's in too much of an order.
All right.
Let me see here. Nah, you're good. It looks like it's, I think the first five are in order. The more I look at it, I think the first five.
Bet. So we gonna go one for one?
Yeah, I think we can do that.
Bet. Yeah, you go first.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, coming in at number 10 for me. He's not really a hook man. He's one of the artists that I put in the artist group that have good hooks. And starting it off for me, I have Ludacris.
Really? Okay. Yeah, our lists are gonna be different.
Because like we talked about earlier, I have hook people, but then I have hook people that actually make songs, and then I have artists who just have catchy hooks. I think there's like Ludacris is one of them. I think maybe two others are like artists, but they have catchy hooks or nice hooks on some of their songs. The other ones are known for hooks, either in their music or on features or on remixes, etc., etc. So, but I put Ludacris on there because simply for the fact that he's one of the more humorous rappers. When he's not taking it seriously, he has a lot of funny songs. What was that damn song we were in high school? The whole song.
Oh, you use a
whole. Yeah, so like stuff like that, or like Splash Waterfalls and like Roll Out, or you know, stuff like that. He's more of the humor side, especially like in his videos and in his lyrics, when you know certain songs like that have those type of hooks. So I had rounded it out my list with him just because of that, because he has a lot of catchy, a lot of funny hooks throughout his career and in his catalog. And like I said, I was running out of hook, man. So I had to put I put Ludacris. And he's one of my favorite Southern rappers too. So I had to put him in there somewhere.
All right. Well, my first, see, because I went at it a little bit different. I went at it kind of like, I did it in the sense of like people that you would call for a hook, like that just that you put on hooks and shit, not that their music has a good hook.
If I would have done that, I probably would have had a lot of newer people on my shit. Like, I definitely probably would have put like Roddy Ricch on my shit. I would have probably put like Kevin Gates on my shit.
Facts. And so I see what you did, but I'm gonna start just how it's listed. My first person that I had listed was T-Pain. I feel T-Pain, like, he had a run that he had, like, you know, back in the day, I remember you could only have the protocol was like every artist, whether you're featured or you have a single out, you would only be on the radio for one song. And I remember there was a part that he was dominating so long that he had fucking four songs on the radio at one point in time or whatever. And can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. The beat kind of sounded loud, but like four singles. I'm paranoid now. Yeah, bro.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah, I can hear you coming in clear.
Oh, yeah. But he had like four or five singles on at one point in time. And I'm like, oh, shit, like this dude, you know what I'm saying? And all his music was catchy. It was, he opened the gates for like a lot of how music sounds now. Like, yeah, like it's Wayne, but then T-Pain played a big part of that as well, like the melodic sound and all that other shit. So T-Pain, definitely.
Yeah, I can definitely agree. I'm a huge fan of T-Pain still to this day. Obviously, when we talk and I introduced you into his streamer side, and there was a particular moment in time, like, T-Pain was either on everything or was definitely just on everything, like, if that makes any sense, whether it be his solo career or being hooks or features and stuff like that, because I'll do that one next. I'll do it out of order for now because he's on there. I put T-Pain as my number two, and same thing, you know, he's just an amazing talent, amazing voice, with or without autotune, and he has a lot of catchy shit, obviously, you know, like he has like a bunch of songs with Plies, he has songs with Chris Brown, you know, he has songs with even like one of my favorite songs is with Bone Crusher, is Going Through a Lot, and that hook alone and that song I remember growing up with. And just an all around like MVP, like that would be like the guy to like holler at if you wanted like a hit, you know what I'm saying? Especially like from his stature, like he has a lot of, you know, credibility, like he makes hits, you know what I'm saying? Like he's not like a pushover, like a once in a lifetime type of hit or something like that, or some catchy shit that dies out in a year or two.
And I feel like he was blackballed or something. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the game kind of like blackballed him or whatever, because there's no way that you can go from that and still have the ability. Because I think he drops songs like as of recent, and it sounds good, but they never really get traction and stuff. Like, he don't get that much plays and all this other shit. I don't know. I think he's been blackballed, bro.
I think it was, how do I want to put this? I think it was more of the style of T-Pain at the time, and how the autotune took the rap game and R&B game by storm. Like it's still prevalent to this day, but I don't think it's as much as it was when T-Pain had it and when Lil Wayne started dibble dabbling in it. And I honestly believe that the style that people were used to and the sound of T-Pain, I think that's what kind of dulled him out, because like we kind of grew out of it. Like in the beginning, it was heavy saturated. Like you would hear a lot of autotune and a lot of work, and you know, his included. And I think to where it started evolving, where people were using it less or just on hooks or, you know, some type of reverb added to a voice rather than being so strongly prominent in songs, even though I think the only one that I want to say that really does it like that up until when he stopped was Lil Wayne, of course, but that became his kind of his niche, you know what I'm saying? Like, he used it because that's what he wanted to put on his songs. And I believe that once that era started slowing down and you didn't really hear it as much, because I can't really recall what happened after Auto-Tune, like what was next in the world. I want to believe it was like trap music. Like, trap music then took over, you know, with Future and everybody like that. So like, it wasn't as prominent. And I think the style and the sound of T-Pain is what dulled him out, as weird as that sounds. I just think that what he was portrayed to making and what he had out, it wasn't meshing with the people, you know what I'm saying? Because like, I think if my memory is correct, I believe like after T-Pain and like that Auto-Tune era with Wayne, like trap music came out of nowhere, and then everybody was trapping. Nobody was really listening to like Auto-Tune melody shits no more. Nobody was listening to Buy You a Drink kind of song or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I agree with that, just because when I listen to these new artists, it seems to me that like all of it's like Auto-Tune is on every song. Like, I don't know, like, or at least all these up and coming dudes, bro, like listen to like Trippie Redd, NBA YoungBoy, you know, all these like new generation rappers, I think that they heavily depend on Auto-Tune and stuff. I just think that it's become a norm, and they don't use it in the same manner that T-Pain did. He was actually singing. They more so rap with it and kind of just like stretch their words out and stuff with it. But I don't know, I think Auto-Tune is prevalent like heavy in today's music.
Yeah, I believe it is, like you hear it, but I don't think you hear it as much as it was played back then. That's just me. I know it's there. Yeah. I know it's there and hella reverb, you know. I hear it when I listen to Roddy Ricch and NBA YoungBoy and what's that big boy's name? That one that's always crying. What's his name?
Oh, Rod Wave?
Yes. Yes, yes. Like
that fat guy that be sad. That fat motherfucker that be sad.
Yeah, so like I do hear, but I don't think it's as dominant as it was back then. You know, early 2010s. Like I don't hear it as much. Even though I know it's there, like I said, but that's just me. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. But I do understand where you're coming from, and it still plays a huge part in music, you know, still to this day. But he's definitely one of the trendsetters that, you know, actually, you know, popped off with that kind of sound and that kind of music. And I don't understand what's really holding the people back from listening to his stuff musically, like, a lot more than what we used to back then. Nowadays, I think that's just simply because he's been out of the spotlight so much, and I don't think he's really focused on making a hit. You know, he might make a single, put it on Spotify, and call it a day for like a couple of months, and then drop some other shit, you know, here and there, or, you know, be featured on something like that. But I don't think he's really sweating the whole technique to where he needs to make a song or make a hit or make an album. You know, I think he's just in his zone right now, and he's just doing what he loves to do, either, you know, with the streaming or just doing music on the fly, or, you know, writing or co-producing, because I don't know what else he's touched since then. I'm pretty sure he's probably done a lot of work behind the scenes. And, yeah. You know, I just think that he's at that particular spot in his life where he just doesn't need to make a hit song. But if he did, I think it would need to be with somebody huge right now. Because a lot of people haven't been listening to T-Pain and forgot about T-Pain. But when they do bring him up, it's all of his old stuff. That is kind of like in a genre where we don't really hear that much.
Yeah. It seems to me that, like, too, like, by watching his stream, it seems to me that, like, the game fucked him up, too. Like, I think the game, the industry does that to a lot of artists. It kind of takes the love away from it for them. Cause it like I was watching his stream, and he was talking about like, even how like first weeks don't even matter no more, cause all these artists just manipulate their numbers. And he's like, bro, like nothing matters anymore. Like everything is fake in the game. Like you could tell just that he's just fed up with the game as well. But I don't know if that's like a scorn from a scorn artist perspective, or if like he really just don't fuck with the game no more. Or if the game just didn't fuck with him, so he in turn didn't fuck with it back.
Yeah, it could be it could be a mixture of both. I do think in a sense that what he's talking about and how he's feeling is more of like his experience. Like, oh, back when I was big and when I was making records, like, you had to really sell. You know, I didn't really have this digital platform, this, you know, the DSPs and easier access. I mean, we had computers then, obviously. We're not talking about 30 years ago. We're talking about maybe 10, 12 years tops. And it's just so much easier now for people to just up their streams and up their numbers and get noticed and get, you know, put in certain situations. And I believe back then, I think the grind was a little bit still nostalgic, like how it was back in the 90s and the early 2000s, where people were making mixtapes and passing them out at the mall, or, you know, actually making hard album covers and passing them out or selling them at shows and stuff like that. So I think the grind and the effort is way different than it is now. So when he says something like that, to the extent, like, you know, it nothing really matters, that they just do what they want and, you know, they don't, you know, I just read an article too, speaking of like new artists and shit like that. I forgot who wrote it, but it basically said that rappers nowadays, they don't need talent. And I thought about it. Yeah, and I thought about it, and I was like, you're right. You know, you're absolutely right. Because even if you look back and rewind the clock 5 years, think about all the new artists that came out, and some are not even around anymore. And if you listen to their music that was hot at the time, that was banging, it's generic as hell. Like, you can literally sit there and say, I can make a better song than this. And you can. 100%. Right. Like, I know people that rap better than a lot of people that are out right now, that are making hits and getting all of this money. You know what I'm saying? So I think, like, the grind effort and what it was worth back then is what's making T-Pain feel that way against the game. Because I know for a fact, you know, deep down inside, he knows he's a hell of an artist. He knows he can sing. He knows he can make music. He knows that he put a huge, huge mark in the rap game. Like, a huge mark. I'm talking about, like, what Pac and Biggie was to West Coast and East Coast music at the time. And then when the South took over, like, you have the people from the South. You have the Outkast, the T.I. You know, and you have these certain prominent time zones in the timeline of rap and hip-hop. And he was in one of the most recent, and one of the most influential, being, I call it the T-Pain era, the autotune era, where everything was just a different sound in a matter of a couple of years. You know, everything was autotuned and reverbed out, and they made it work. And, you know, him being who he was, being a hook guy or like a melodic guy, he made it work. And he got a lot of success from it. So I think that's what's pushing Pain to say things like that, because I know deep down inside he knows he's phenomenal at heart. You know, true fans know that the guy is crazy. Is because one more thing, we'll get to the list. We get distracted like a motherfucker. this is another prime example. Anderson .Paak. Like, a lot of people don't know who the hell he is, right? A lot of people are like, yo, who
Anderson Pack,
Park, whatever. I'm gonna call him AP. God damn it, Jesus. Anderson Park, Pack, Pacquiao, whatever the hell you want to call this man. But you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so AP. Okay, a lot of people are they don't know who he is, or never knew who he was, never heard a Anderson song in their life, and it takes Bruno Mars to bring that out. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they formed a group and they just dropped that song. That's actually pretty fire. And what I'm saying is, like, you know, it takes somebody else to bring somebody else out. And it's just crazy to think that, like, you know, all the people that can sound and work better often try to put themselves out there and they don't. And then somebody has to, like, push them and elevate them to the next level, and that being Bruno. Like, nobody knew who the hell Anderson was, even though, like, people like us has heard songs, features. He did stuff with Mac Miller, he's done stuff with everybody, and we know who he is. But then, like, Bruno has to pull that out when they come together and make a group together and an actual fire ass song.
That's a fact. Can you hear me straight? Because my internet just went in and out, bro.
Yeah. I can still hear you.
But yeah, I agree with you. One thing that you said that really stuck out to me was that you said that talent doesn't matter nowadays. And that is shit. That shit is so factual. Reason being is I was having a conversation with my little cousin that he's trying to be a rapper now. And his music is decent. You know what I'm saying? He's still starting. So like it's not like top notch as of yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's good music. And but the thing about him that's his problem is that he's a shy person. So he'd rather just put out his music. Not everyone is meant to be like what I do, for example, that I'm on social media like all day and just posting whatever. Other people don't want to do that. They're like very low key and stuff like that. But I tried to tell him, I'm like, bro, the way that the industry is designed nowadays, like it doesn't matter how talented you are. It's based on how marketable you are, how entertaining you are. You have to entertain the media, make them interested to someone check out your music, and then you can release shit music or not shit music, but whatever, mediocre music, and they'll amplify it because your fan base likes you. Back in the day, we didn't have social media, so it was how good your craft really is. And yeah, people catch you on like Hot 97, or they see you in videos and you're really music videos and you're really out there and all this other stuff. Then you have built a persona, and people will gravitate to you even more. But for the most part, it was how good. That's why 90s rappers didn't give a fuck about fashion and all this other shit like these new guys do, because they're all the image. It's not about your talent, how good you are, how good you rap. That's why they don't rap no more. They don't care. You know, so talent definitely doesn't. And that really did stick out, because it's true, bro. Like, it's not. Music has definitely changed a lot. Like, I really take a notice to how much music has changed, because you mentioned the T-Pain era. When the other day, somebody posted, like, this was posting old shit, and they were posting, like, old Jock, like, old Young Jock, and then, like, Rich Boy, and then shit that we were teenagers when it came out. And it sounds, and mind you, this was shit that was on the radio all the fucking time. Lil Wayne was remixing shit, or he was on the actual remix and shit. It was during that time. Mm-hmm. And all that, in comparison to the new music, it sounds like, though, like, I was listening to fucking Earth or something. It sounded so old.
Damn.
So, yeah, bro. It's like, you know, whatever. But yeah, that goes to say that just talent means nothing nowadays. It's just, okay, are you marketable? That's it. Are you marketable? Are you entertaining? Are you funny? Are you deep and make people think or whatever? You have to have something to make people gravitate towards you. It doesn't matter how good you rap, how good you sing. There's a million motherfuckers that could do all that shit.
Yeah, big facts, man. Big facts. There's always somebody else out there that's either wanting to do the same thing or be better than you. That's how I look at it. Mm-hmm. Always. So, I mean, no matter what you do, obviously, you could be a basketball player. There's always going to be somebody better than you. There's going to be somebody that's going to be at the same level as you. There's going to be somebody that wants it more than both of you. You know, so, like, it's always a changing and evolving world when it comes to certain things. Like, and unfortunately, when it comes down to something as, you know, not as serious, but as something, you know, intriguing as being a rapper or an artist, it's basically the world that pays you. It's the people that pay you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can be the best rapper, but if you can't make numbers and you can't sell shows and you can't do this and you can't do that to where you can make an income off of it, you're not gonna be on a record label. You're not going to be this superstar. You're not going to get the time to shine and all that stuff like that. So you can, like I said, if you go back and look, you know, 10, 15 years ago up until now, you notice who's been here and who hasn't and who's still here. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that are not here anymore because always something else that somebody else will like. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, the same thing, like, you know, the next comparison I give you is a car. You know, you get your car in 2015. Well, in 6 years, you know, it's might be on its last leg. You have to go get a 2017, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's always somebody out there that even if less, you know, like, especially with the rap game, you can do the least and be the most. You know, think about who's hot right now and like, are they really spitting that shit? And probably 85% are not. It's just a bunch of fire beats or catchy beats. And they make it work, and the people like to listen to it, and they're not listening to it for the quality and the content that we might be trying to hear, but they like it because it's catchy, or it's got a cool tune, or the beat is kind of raw, you know, and they're saying dumb shit on the track, you know, like, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, but that's us being older, because like rapping it's not a thing anymore. Like my older cousin told my younger cousin, he's like, oh, you need to start to stop singing so much. And then like I'm looking at it like, bro, like stop being that old guy, bro. Like they don't care about that bars. Like nobody cares about that shit. Nobody cares about, I think we had a conversation about that shit when I brought up like punchlines and I was like, yo, do you think punchline rap is still a thing? That was a few episodes ago. And you're like, that doesn't really matter anymore. And it's true, it's not prevalent in today's music or whatever, lyrics and all that, and yeah, really rapping and stuff. It's all about the melody and shit. So yeah, music changes, time changes, and you know, expectations and what's wanted, it changes. But we drifted so far off the fucking topic, bro.
All right, so I had Ludacris, you had T-Pain. I followed up with my T-Pain, so it's on you.
All right, so my next one is, I think this has to be one of the best hook people ever in the history of hip hop. It's Nate Dogg. I'm pretty sure Nate Dogg's on yours as well. Yeah, but Nate Dogg is definitely the GOAT.
He came in at number one, bro.
Oh, yeah. Then Nate Dogg is definitely the fucking GOAT. And I just, you know, I just feel like, you know, his sound was just so dope. It was like, it's almost like how it would have been contemporary at the time. But like if it would have been like a soul singer on contemporary subject matters and you know, beats and stuff or whatever, it just sounded so dope. He was the only person that can make me listen to a fucking G-Funk beat. It was funny, and I hate
G-Funk. This
G-Funk. I hate G-Funk. Yeah. But you hear Nate Dogg is like, some, whatever.
Killing that shit. Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I definitely put him on the next person on my list. You know what I'm saying? I know you want to, you probably have something to chime in as well, because you had him number one on your list. So he's a heavy hit on for you.
Yeah, dude. I guess I'll agree with you to an extent too. Never really listened to West Coast rap except for Snoop Dogg, growing up. And I remember hearing Nate Dogg, and I didn't know who he was, obviously. It was a little bit before my time, but he was still on a lot of hits during my teenage years. You know, you have like Area Codes, 21 Questions, Till I Collapse, even Can't Deny It. You know what I'm saying? Like one of Fabulous's like best songs. And yeah, you know, even like the old school stuff, like Regulate, obviously one of his classics. And I just think that Nate, like I said, I mentioned him on another podcast, he has a very unique sound. It's one of those guys and one of those sounds that before we knew what melodic rap was, he was already doing it, like in his hooks, and you could feel that because it's a real rap street dude, and he can get on a hook, whether it be something as serious as, like I said, like Till I Collapse, or something as street like Can't Deny It. He could turn around and do something hilarious like Area Codes, and then he can come around and do something more chill, 21 Questions. And he can hit every genre, and a lot of hookmen, a lot of singers, a lot of songwriters, they really can't do that. They usually have one or two genres and they're chill, you know. But like Nate was one of those guys that can touch anything and make it sound amazing, you know. I just gave you probably like, what is it, five songs that I know for a fact that everybody that's listening has listened to more than once. You know what I'm saying? So definitely one of the greatest, like just all around songwriters, when it came to hooks and being on a humongous amount of songs, you know, being from the West Coast. Then he mixed up his music, you know what I'm saying? He was doing stuff with people from the Midwest all the way to the East Coast, down to the South. So he was touching a lot of genres of music, and which I think is dope still. So yeah, I got Nate as number one. That was numero uno. It was either him or T-Pain. I was like, yeah, I might have to just edge it out with Nate.
Oh, word. It got to that point.
Yeah,
shit.
Bro. Yeah. The top five was really hard for me because, like I said, I did mix it with actual hook guys. And, you know, because Nate made music by himself too as well. And with other people. And the thing is, like, a lot of these people, they're solidified solo artists, but they have done a lot of stuff for features and hooks and stuff like that. So it was hard for the top five. And the bottom half was kind of like, I listen to you. you know, I listen to you. But the top, like, six are, like, my heavy hitters.
Gotcha.
But I got Nate Dogg as number one. So, coming in after Future, another artist but has good hooks, I put Kanye West.
Kanye West, wow.
Another one of the artist selection. Like I said, it was hard getting the rest of the, after six, I was reaching. I was really reaching. And I just thought about Kanye. I put on some of Kanye's songs, you know, like All Falls Down, Jesus Walks, Stronger, even Good Life. You know, around those times in those songs. He has really good all around what's the word I'm looking for? Like, his songs are complete, is what I'm trying to get at. Like, every song that you can think of that you like from Kanye, from the hook to the verses to the outro and intro, they're very, very complete. You know, like, one of my favorite songs from him of all time is actually Jesus Walks. And from the beginning to the end, he's telling you a story. The hook matches the you know, the verbiage and the bars, and the production is obviously, it's Kanye West. But his hooks, I think, instead of it being somebody known for a catchy hook, I think I'm putting him in his own category as a complete hook. Like, it completes the song. It's not off topic. It's not too outlandish. It basically flows with the whole, you know, geography of the bars that are being spit. You know what I'm saying? So I think he's more of a complete hook man that makes a complete song out of the hook and the verses when they're all put together.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I would have put him on the hook list. I do see what you're saying, though, because he's a musician at the end of the day. So, like, when he composes music, everything is put into account, you know, every sound, every word, every instrument, every, you know, every bar, everything is strategically placed. So he knows how to obviously compose a song. I just didn't put him on the. I wouldn't put him on my list for hooks because I can't think of any memorable hooks that he has. Like the come songs on, that you named,
come
are
on,
like,
bro. Come on, bro. I'll give you one right now since I'm such a big Kanye West fan. Gold Digger.
Yeah, I guess.
Come on, man. Now, I ain't saying she'll go to nominee. Or you can I would even throw what's it called? What's the song he did with Jay-Z? Oh shit.
Because when you mentioned Jesus Walks, but all I remember Jesus Walks being was he sampled that, or he had a chorus singing Jesus Walks.
I was saying in regards to him just using, I mean, just making hooks. Yeah, I mean, he had to compose that, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's just one of those songs that you remember from, you remember the hook on the song, you know what I'm saying? Because obviously it's Jesus Walks, and that was like the biggest like feature to me on that song was the hook, but not necessarily that one. Like, he has other ones, like I said, that have you know, him singing a hook or something like that, but like Gold Digger is like the number one example I can give you, you know, him and Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx. Well, is he on your list?
No, bro. He ain't make my list, bro. Who you got next?
All right, so my next person is Akon. I'm getting rid of, like, I guess the older people. My list slowly transitions into, like, not old fucks. But, yeah, my next person is Akon. And Akon, for a while, people forget how dominant he was in the music game. But, like, Akon got one of the most unique voices. So, like, why do you think people got so hype when they redid Locked Up? And it with Tekashi and stuff, right? It was because, you know, they were basically hype off of that. You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro.
No, you sounded different. That's what I was asking. But yeah, no. Yeah, nah, but Akon from, you know what I'm saying, Locked Up. And then when he transitioned over to the pop scene too, like when he had those records with Pitbull and stuff, like still, mm-hmm. like it mm-hmm. would stick out because of him on there. You know, and he didn't make my list, but that also reminds me of how pivotal Neo was in Hooks around that time as well. Mm-hmm. But Neo sounded real good on Hooks or whatever. So it's just about a sound. Like the way that I approached this list, it was like, yo, if I was a rapper or like whatever, like who would I want to go to give me a hook just for the hook so I can have a hit? And I off ripped one of the next person. Like I thought of T-Pain, I thought of Nate Dogg, and I thought Akon for sure. Like I would love to, even modern day now, like you bring Akon back and you get him to do a record with you, dog, the record's gonna pop. That's how I see it.
Yeah, big facts, cause I got him, I actually got him on my list too. He came in at number 5. And for the same reasons, you pretty much nailed it on the head. And you know, just very unique sounding, can do songs in a lot of genres. He's done pop songs, mm-hmm. slow songs, R&B songs, hip hop songs, trap songs. You know, he just to name a few, like, you know, Soul Survivor, which is one of my favorite Jeezy songs of all time. I think he did Out Here Grinding, which was one of the pivotal songs for DJ Khaled's career. The song did very good. What other songs did he have? He had the I Wanna Love You song with Snoop Dogg, became a strip club anthem. You know, just he has a lot of work that he did. But most importantly for me,
you know what song reminded me? Remember that one song? I Wanna Fuck You or some shit like that. Remember that shit?
Yeah, that's what I said. I just didn't want to curse. I Wanna Love You, yeah, because that was the edited version. Right. But yeah, the I Wanna Fuck You song, fuck it. If Chris wanna cuss, I'm gonna cuss too. But that song.
I'm sorry, guys.
but that song, yeah, that's that. Like I said, it blew up, became a strip club anthem, and you were hearing it every damn second on the radio. And like I said, the most important thing for me is just like I said, he could do every genre. That's very huge. Mm-hmm. Diversity in music for me is the number one thing, and that's like what attaches me to a lot of like artists. If you can do a lot of different things, and he was definitely one of those. And like you said, his career was pretty prominent, pretty big. And then obviously after that, when he was doing the pop shit, it took off even more. You know, he did the Pitbull treatment, did the pop, mm-hmm. and it just took off for him there. You know, so I got him at number 5. Coming in at number 7 for me, another rapper, but he has good hooks. Like I said, I was running out of ideas. I have 50 Cent. Probably surprising for you.
Nah, 50's on my list too.
Okay, good. Because you guys know I don't really talk about 50 that much, but I think I respect 50 more now as a businessman than a rapper. But that doesn't underline the fact that he has some killer fucking songs, like with great hooks. You know, obviously his debut single, like Within the Club, he has P.I.M.P. with Snoop Dogg, How We Do, you know, and like Many Men, of course. And he's another one of those artists that can make a complete song with a hook and the verses. It all flows together. He's a very complete all around. He hits every bass when he makes a lot of his songs, especially back in his early days. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like Get Rich or Die Trying, you know, Massacre Days, like in between those, like he has a lot of work that sounds genuinely complete when you hear it from front to end, hook included. And just another one of those, like how you said with Akon, very distinct sound. You know, he made an impact early in his career, so he had everybody backing him no matter what song or what he did. You know, I used to hate Candy Shop. Then I was going around my house singing it. You know what I'm saying? Like he has that sound, and you know that obviously now we see it more than ever that he definitely has the persona, and just an all around complete artist when it came to his songs. I really liked how, you know, he sounded on songs. You know, real street, real grimy. You know, that's what you expect from somebody from the East Coast.
Oh, okay. That's you, bro.
Hey, I'm good. Oh, I'm good. It was okay, boy, paranoid as hell, bro. We gonna get through the podcast. Nah. Yo, can you hear me, bro? Are we good? Are we Gucci?
No. I thought it went out. Nah, bro. Yeah, I'm paranoid. I just don't want to waste the episode. You know what I'm saying? Nah, but I had 50 on my list as well. But it, you know, I think he was one of the first generation people they were singing, the first people that were singing and stuff, and was definitely was unexpected. I think his melodies were dope. The only thing that I always had an issue with 50, I always felt like if his music was better mixed, like his singing parts and stuff, like with the let's say engineers of today, of modern day, like yeah, his shit would have popped even more. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that's just, it might be, I don't think that he wasn't accepting how he sounded. I think a lot has to do with technology that's advanced. But even though like some of his newer stuff is, I'll be the first to admit, it's kind of corny. It's not like really like good 50, but there is some gems in there. You know, there is some gems in there that, you know, take you back, and you can hear like old 50 and stuff like that. And
he dropped something not that long ago, like to promote like Power or some shit, promote something, and he was rapping and stuff, and he sounded dope. I was like, oh shit. And the song that I remember, bro, that's not like new, but it's kind of new, was like a few years ago, I want to say like 5 years ago, he dropped a record with Kendrick Lamar. It's called like We Up.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, dog. He killed that shit. That shit sounded good as fuck, bro. I can't even play. It sounded like old 50 with a new beat and stuff, and Kendrick did his thing on that shit too. That record was fucking dope as fuck.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. Like, you know, like how we mentioned with T-Pain, it's like you get to that plateau of like how you sound, and like luckily he found business. You know, he did the vitamin water, the Power. He did all those big moves to, you know, stop rapping. You don't have to rap no more. Now I guess he just does it just for the fuck of it, which is, you know, where everybody wants to be. You get so comfortable in life that you can actually just do whatever the hell you want, you know? So
yeah,
I believe it came to that because he's another one. Like he, you know, like we both stated, he's come out with new stuff, but it's not gravitating how it used to be. Like when he came out, mm-hmm, he set the world on fire. Like he was everywhere. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, G-Unit and everybody came along after that, and the game and all that. And then like it blew up. So I think like you hit that plateau, bro. And it's just like the same sound, the same genre of music, how you're portraying yourself. It's just like the people kind of just dive off. Or, you know, like I said, in the evolution of music and in the hip hop game, newer artists come with newer sounds. And, you know, they suck up the rest of the fan base. Not saying that they won't listen to you anymore, because I still listen to 50 to this day. But I'm not prominently putting on 50 Cent every day like I used to when Get Rich or Die Trying was out. You know?
It gotta be a random vibe, like randomly, like let's say it shows up in a video or something, and you're like, yo, I haven't heard that song in 10 years. I'm about to go listen to that shit. Many men. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, matter of fact, when Pop Smoke came out with that record that he redid Many Men, that was when I went back and I listened to the original Many Men.
Yeah, dog. Shout out to 50. Fuck it. 50 raw too. So, what number are you on? You on probably like 5 or 6?
2, 3. I mean, I did T-Pain, Nate Dogg, Akon, and then we both agreed on 50 Cent.
Okay, so who you got next? Because I think I have like 3 left.
All right, so I have one of the GOATs. Oh, young shit. GOATs.
Oh, shit. All right, I think, you already said it. I was going to say, I think I know where you're going with this one. Because he on my list too, bro. He on my list too.
Chris Brown, bro. You throw Chris Brown on your record, he fucking rejuvenate. He helped rejuvenate fucking Omarion's career. Fucking Omarion, bro. Fucking touch. Fucking get the fuck out of here. If you can,
I like that song. I like that song.
Nah, but I'm saying I did too.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a while.
But that was the last hit he had. I think Icebox was the last hit he had before that and stuff. So, yeah, like Chris Brown, you throw him on your record. Every feature that I hear him on, I never hear him on a fucking shitty record, dog. The record he did with Drake, the record that he did on My Life as Pablo. Any fuck, even if it's a whatever fucking cut, you put Chris Brown on your record, you have a fucking hit. He makes it sound good. You know what I'm saying? Chris Brown, all the way. That's my next person in the hook. In the hookers list.
Nah, but I definitely agree too, because he actually made my list. So my list goes Ludacris, Future, Kanye West, 50 Cent. Then I have Chris Brown. And same thing, man. Another complete artist, can do whatever the hell he wants, say whatever the hell he wants, and it works. It doesn't matter who it's with. It could be with motherfucking Tyga. It could be with Drake. It could be with goddamn Omarion. It could be anybody, and the shit is fire. It's crazy. He just did a song with G-Eazy where they remixed Return of the Mac. It's fucking fire. Have you heard that yet?
I don't listen to G-Eazy.
Shots fired. Stupid. Shots fired. But he has a song with Chris. G-Eazy has a song with Chris, and it's fire. I think it's more fire because of the sample, because the beat is raw. The beat is super raw.
Would you say Return of the Mac? I want to go and listen to it. I don't know if you remember, but like Born Star had a beat remade a few years ago. We did that. That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah, it's called. I think it's called Provide. Let me check my Spotify real quick. It's not called Return of the Mac. It's called like Provide or some shit. Let me see right quick. Yeah, it's called Provide. And what's funny is they actually have Mark Morrison on the song. Like he's doing backgrounds and shit. So like in the beginning when the song comes on, you hear it and you hear him. And it's a dope. I don't know why they dropped it now. They should have saved it for the summer. But it's a dope song. It's one of those bangers where you can like roll down the windows and just ride out. Especially with Return of the Mac sample. Oh my god, bro. Cause it's one of my favorite songs of all time too. So I could definitely feel you on that one. But it's a dope song though. But Chris did the hook and he killed it as usual. With a beat that smooth, even with the when it's remade, it's fire, dude. It's fire. I don't know how many hits it has on Spotify.
Anytime you remake that beat, it's a banger. That's why I fucking Trader Truth remade it like 4 times.
He did?
He did that I'm on shit like 4 times, bro. That was Return of the Mac. He remade that beat like 4 times and then released it with different rappers on it every time.
Damn. It's got 15.6 million streams. And I think it came out like a month and a half ago or 2 months ago. So.
Damn, I'm surprised I haven't heard it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, it's when you hear it, you're going to be like, yeah, why wasn't this released in the summer? Because it's one of those songs. It's like a summer banger. Like, you hear it at the beach. Or like I say, with the windows down, rolling around town, you know, it's one of those songs. But it's a fire song. You should check it out. I'll link it to you.
It's probably because of COVID.
Oh yeah, true.
Because like, then no one experienced seasons this year, bro. So it's like summer is just like winter, it's just like spring. It's just like it's the same shit. Nobody leaves the house.
Tell that to all the spring breakers that came down here and trashed up my beaches.
Yeah, fucking. But you know what? That's funny about that shit. I was thinking about that shit, and everybody seems so flabbergasted and shit. And I'm like, bro, they do this every year. They have a curfew every year, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not nothing new. But people just want something to talk about, I guess. So it's going viral. But I'm like, bro, they literally shut down South Beach when the sun goes down, or 8 o'clock for the last like. Dog, when back in my heyday, when I was going to do shit and stuff or whatever, I was about to lie and say South Beach, but it was really like Las Olas or something. they and it would be spring break, they'll kick us out. They'll be like, oh, they'll close out the streets and everything. It was the same shit.
Yeah, fuck them niggas coming down here trashing my shit, bro.
and then we get donkey of the day. Like they do the dumb shit, and then we end up
talk about some. Look at Florida and they beaches and shit. They nasty down there. Nah, bro, it's y'all from Wisconsin and Washington and Kentucky and shit coming down here with your colleagues you know, and then, you know, you drink and you party and you leave all this shit on the beach and you go back to your honky towns and shit.
If colleges, you go back to your fucking university.
Go back to your dorms and shit, you know, that are probably your pigsty. Get the fuck out of here. Get out of here, man.
Fuck y'all.
And they need to start showing Florida ID when they come in here from out of town to get on the beach. Fuck that. You see how that shit ends real quick. Y'all gonna be going to the beach in in California and shit. You have to relocate. Fact. Fuck out of here.
Fact.
Fuck out of here. Who you got next on your list, bro?
Let's see. I got Tory Lanez.
Man.
What you mean? Tory. All right,
y'all. It's been a pleasure. See you guys next week. Tory Lanez made the list, bro.
Yeah, hell yeah, though. You throw Tory on a hook, bro. Tory sounds great on people's hooks, bro. Like, real.
The only time
shit,
he sounds good is when he's talking about bitches. Hands down.
But that's majority of the music, though.
That shit is whack, B. Like, come on, man.
Your favorite rapper is Drake. That's all I gotta say, bro.
Guess what? Drake made my list too, bro.
Yeah, Drake's on mine too.
Let's go, bro. Let's go. But I can respect it. As much as I really don't like Tory Lanez music, and as much as I bust y'all back, you and Cruz included, about Tory Lanez.
Pause.
I do respect his grind. And I will admit that he's kind of slowed down now, I guess, after the incident, after he dropped his little mixtape, surprise mixtape. He's kind of slowing it down a little bit.
He just dropped another one.
I don't know. See, maybe not. Maybe he didn't slow down. But either way, there is some of his songs that I do listen to, or I have listened to, or somebody puts on the aux cord. And he's definitely one of those hook sounding guys. Like, he's definitely like one of those guys that you would put on. Same thing with like who else do we name? Like I'd put him in the same boat as maybe like a T-Pain. He's like one of those artists that can make anything sound good. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, you know. But especially for his genre, though, like, you know, the girl making music and the clubs and the shaking your ass and you know, going on Instagram live and shit, It definitely works for him. He has the sound, he has the flow, the vocabulary. Like, he's very fit for that scenery, and he does it good. I'll give respect where it is. He does it good. You know, if he's on a feature or a remix, you know, obviously, like, he was one of my favorite verses on the Jack Harlow remix. The more I listen to it, I think he did better than Wayne.
And you think everybody did better than Wayne on
this?
No,
because not that he wasn't ripping it, because I mean, it is Wayne, but I think if you listen to it more again, and the first thing that comes to mind is like, he was recycling a lot of Jack Harlow bars and putting the twist on it. You know, he's always been doing that since day one. He'll say something and then it's from somebody else, but he'll twist it. I think he was doing that way too much in that remix. But out of all of them, I think I sadly have to admit that I think Tory ripped it harder than everybody else.
Yes.
I'll be the first. I give respect where it's due, and he did kind of do his thing. He kind of shitted all over that track. That was actually Tory's track after he dropped that.
Yeah, bro, Tory got that shit, bro. I'm telling you, dog, Tory's a beast, bro. And then, like you mentioned earlier with, I forgot who you mentioned it with, but the fact that he could go within genres. Like, he could do the Caribbean music. Like, when he did that Love record and he remade that Everyone Falls in Love shit, when he redid Controller, he killed it. You know what I'm saying? Like, people were saying that he did Controller harder than fucking Drake did. You
chill,
feel me?
Chill.
But he kind of did, right?
Nope.
is that an ad lib, bro? I thought that was you at first, bro.
No, that's a sound bite.
Nope.
That's funny.
Oh man. But yeah, man, it's Tory. I give respect where it's due. The man makes hits. The man makes songs. He's definitely one of those hook sounded dudes, like, bar none. Like he definitely can make some fire shit. I'll be the first, but not the last, to admit.
Yeah. Who you got next though?
Okay, we have the list is so far: Ludacris, Future, Kanye West, 50 Cent. We both agreed on Chris Brown. We both agreed on Akon, T-Pain, and Nate Dogg. And the last two, we just talked about him, and he's on your list too. Obviously, none other than Daddy Drake.
Fucking put your two last two together. We'll see.
I got. All right. From the top. I'm gonna put him included. So he's number four. Okay. Mm-hmm. So from the bottom to the top, we have Ludacris, Future, Kanye West, 50 Cent, Chris Brown, Akon, Pharrell Williams, T-Pain, and Nate Dogg.
Okay, yeah, Pharrell Williams. That's crazy because one of my dogs mentioned Pharrell, and I was like, they're like, oh, but he used to be raw on hooks. I'm like, nah, but yeah, no. I want to hear your breakdown on that.
Mainly for the simple fact that I think Pharrell is one of the best producers in my book, next to Kanye West and 40. The reason why I think I like him so much was when I first got introduced to Pharrell, he wasn't Pharrell. He was part of NERD, which is like a pop rock group that he was a part of. And
I know what NERD
is. Yeah, and I fell in love with the sound. Like, if anybody knows and anybody has listened to a Pharrell track, he has the most distinct sounding beats. He's in the same boat as Timbaland.
I was thinking that hands down.
Like, those two have the most unique. It's an oxymoron. The most unique, distinct sound that you'll ever hear. And not to mention that he can actually make great songs. Like, he can make great songs. Like, you know, his solo album, I listen to it all the time. Any of the Nerd albums, I listen to all the time. And even when he does like pop shit, he did the happy song for the Minions. And like, he's done classics like Give It To Me with Jay-Z. He's got one of my favorite songs of all time, which is Beautiful. And he's done stuff with Ludacris. He's done stuff with a whole bunch of people. Like, everybody that you know has probably got a beat or a damn hook from Pharrell. And Pharrell also brought us clips and stuff like that. So
yeah, he produced that, and I know people is gonna be like, what the fuck? But he produced that first Justin Timberlake album too, from what I remember.
Yeah, that too, and a lot of good songs came off of that album too, you know. And yeah. I just had to put him in there because not only is he's another one of those complete artists. He's a hell of a producer. He can rap. He can sing. He has melody. He can make hooks. He could do features. He could do remixes. But, you know, off topic, he's one of the best producers in my book, as far as like just being just totally different, being unique and being okay with it. He never really changed, you know. He really kept the same sound throughout his career and throughout who he was dealing with. Because, like, even if he goes and does a song with Clips, he could turn around and do a song with Jay-Z. Then he could turn around and do a song with Ludacris, do a song with Snoop Dogg. And still remain sounding like Pharrell. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, no matter what the genre was, or what beat, or what was called up for the production, it even though the production changes, still have Pharrell sound. Like, you knew it was Pharrell. Like, there's no way. Like, you know how you hear songs and it's like, there's no way this ain't a Pharrell beat, or that that ain't no way this ain't a Timberland beat. You know, no way 40 ain't make this beat for Drake. You know, even though 40 touches everything. It's one of those things where, you know, and I think it was just super, you know, especially for around his time. I think it was really, it's what really cemented him. And then, like, when he did his work with Jay-Z, like on the Black Album, and when he did, you know, all this stuff. Like I said, he brought us Clips, you know, he brought us Pusha T. You know, like, he's done a lot of stuff, and he's touched a lot of genres. You know, you mentioned Justin Timberlake. He's done stuff with, I think, a lot of people on the pop scene. You know, I don't know any offhand, but I'm pretty sure he probably dibbled and dabbled with a lot of pop artists.
Yeah, like Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, yeah.
Who, Fergie?
The Black Eyed Peas. So, he's one of those artists and those producers that can touch and do everything and make it sound not only his own, but just super, super fucking unique. And he never really changed, and he stayed to his roots. And you hear that with a lot of his hooks and a lot of his, you know, complete catalog, you know, no matter what he's doing. So, and then Drake, you already know. We don't have to fucking tell you guys. We tell you guys every fucking week, apparently. I don't know why Drake isn't cutting us a check, but
right.
But Drake, out of this list, Drake is the best remixer or the best feature that you can get, hands down, no matter what you do. Pop, reggae, reggaeton, R&B, hip hop, trap, street, gutter shit, it don't matter.
I have a gripe with that, though, right? I completely agree with that. There is a Drake stimulus package. Fucking Drake gets on, Drake gets on your shit, right? Your shit's going to fucking blow the fuck up, right? But is it really because of his hooks? Because I can't. Usually he gives people verses. When has he really given people hooks, though?
Just off the top of my head right now, the couple of the songs that are coming to my head is DJ Khaled, I'm on one, banger.
Oh, of course, banger. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No Lie, banger.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, okay.
Blessings with Big Sean, banger. Come on, bro.
I forgot about that one.
Come on, bro. This me you talking to, baby. this ain't Joe Schmo from around the corner now. Like he's
Anthony Graham, motherfucker. Anthony Graham.
Stupid. But I mean, I call it what it is. You know, I call it square a square and a circle a circle. The man can do everything. Everything.
I agree.
And he can give you a feature. He can give you a hook. He can give you a song. You know, I don't know who the hell Young Blue was. Let that sink in. Who the fuck is Young Blue? This man did.
He didn't give him a hook though. He put his verse on the kid's song.
But yeah, but you know what I'm trying to say. Just the whole essence of something as big as Drake. So when I say he can touch and do everything, let it be a hook or a song or whatever. That's a perfect example. Who the hell is Young Blue? Who the fuck is this guy? You know? And then he's the hottest thing right now.
Yeah, he was bubbling before though. Like I didn't know who he was like how I do now. But that kid was bubbling because he was like Boosie's artist. He's signed under Boosie or some shit.
He signed under Boosie now.
Yeah.
Oh, Boosie and Brett.
He got a real label deal. I think he bought himself out of that badass deal. He gave him like $100,000.
Oh damn!
Yeah, he bought him a car and gave him $100,000.
What's that dude? That's that black youngster shit.
I wonder if that black youngster money was even real, to be honest.
Oh man, that's that black youngster shit. But whatever it took to get in the game, it got him noticed, and he got a song with Drake, and it's on fire. So he did something right. So fuck it. I can't even argue.
But our list was not similar to at all like how I thought it would be. I'm gonna break down my list real quick just to get it over with, and I want people to know actually Drake did not make my list. I want people to know that I did this list from the first. I was trying to put a disclaimer, motherfucker. Damn.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I did it from the perspective of who I would go to for a hook. Just a hook. Like, if I just needed someone for a hook.
So, you're not coming for Drake for a hook.
But I put Tory.
That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy, dog. I don't believe you. So, you would pick Tory Lanez over a Drake hook. There's no way. Probably. There's no way. Don't do me like this, bro. Okay, dog, I think you love me a little bit more than you love Cruz. Don't do me like this, bro. Don't do me like this, bro. Stupid. There's no way. There's no way you're gonna pick Tory over Drake for a hook.
I don't listen. I'll tell you the list right now.
Let's get to the list.
I had T-Pain, Nate Dogg, Akon, Chris Brown, Tory Lanez, 50 Cent, The Weeknd, Post Malone, Sway Lee, Ty Dolla $ign. I think I had an 11. And R. Kelly. So I think that's 12.
I almost put R. Kelly on my shit too, bro.
Yeah, fuck it. I don't drive to the closet. No, fuck it. Stupid. Like a snake, ma.
Oh, shit. What's the song he did with Cassidy? The hotel song? Come on, man. That shit is fire, dude. Get the fuck out of here. I should have fired Kelly on my shit, bro. I'm surprised
he gave Cassidy a hit.
His only hit, other than Get No Better.
I'm a hustler, remember?
You're right. You're right. But I think the hotel song was bigger than that.
Oh yeah, Hotel was his biggest record. People bring it up to this day. They still bring that song up to this day. Like in battles.
That man need to bail R. Kelly out, get a Hotel Remix 2 going.
Revamp his career.
So he can revive his career, yeah, because I seen the post you posted by him and what's that boy name?
Hitman.
Yeah. Man. I think Hitman's gonna body him though.
Hell yeah, 3-0.
I think Cassidy always starts out strong.
Yeah, but he's gotten 3-0'd every battle except for Disaster. When he battled Disaster, he got one round. That was because he surprised everyone and imitated Disaster. And then that shit made everyone go crazy. Like, no, I'm lying. He beat Disaster. Okay, I'll give you that one. But all the other ones, he's lost. He lost the Goods. He lost the Arsenal. I think those are the only other two that he had.
Yeah, he can't. He can't fuck with Arsenal.
Nah, Arsenal won. Arsenal to pick them up and like damn near threw him across. Like that shit really happened. And then Cassidy damn near wanted to fight and stuff. But it was so fake, bro. I was like, man, what the fuck am I watching?
Dude, that shit refused, baby. Like WWE even that bitch. And he
That's
wasn't.
What it was, dog.
And he wasn't gonna beat Goods either, bro. Goods is my homie, bro. I like Goods a lot. Pause. But he wasn't beat. I already knew that he wasn't gonna beat him out the gate.
Nah, Goods is hilarious, bro. You can't beat a hilarious person in battle rap. And then Goods has that delivery, bro. Like that laid back, like I don't give a fuck. Like yeah, like he's too cool.
He's too suave, dog. When he get that cup in his hand, he's too suave, dog. Like he just goes with the flow, dog. The thing is, he can control the room. That's the thing, dog. Like a lot of those battle rappers that I like, they can control the room. You know, it takes a lot to do that too. You know what I mean? So like, if people ain't feeling your shit, ain't nobody gonna really be rocking with you like that. That's why I think Cassidy, I think when he goes up against Hoff, I think he's gonna get one round. He has to.
Yeah.
I think deep down inside he has at least one good round. I think he can't go a full battle. That's the thing. Like, even though he's been doing battle rap and doing all this shit and he can spit, obviously. The man's not trash. I'll admit that. But battling, he just doesn't.
Eras.
Yeah, battling now, he just doesn't have the endurance. I think like he just be running out of shit to say. Like the first round is like
he says too much. He says too much actually, and that's his problem. If he was to filter out all his filler bars, he would have strong rounds. But he just keeps going, and a Cassidy round will be like 10 minutes, bro. And you're like, shut the fuck up, bro. Like let the other guy rap, bro.
Yeah,
you know. But like, and he sounds old. Like him, it's like Jin or Poster Boy coming back and battling on URL. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not 106 and Park Freestyle Friday no more, bro. Like the style is different. Like it's way more complex nowadays. So like, you know, that's like Meek Mill coming back to battle. It's not gonna sound good, bro.
Yeah, I believe it. I just want to think that he has at least one good round. Just give me one good round, Cassidy, and I'll be like, you know what? Just get your check. Go home.
Yeah, he can get a 2-1. I'll give him a 2. I'll give him a 2-1 or a gentleman. I'll give him a gentleman's 3-0. That's what I give him. Gentleman 3-0. So a gentleman 3-0 is when one of the rounds is debatable.
All right. I can think that. I just don't see him going. Because I like Hoff. I don't like him that much. But I like. He's decent. You know, I give him that much.
Yeah.
That's why I think he's going to get. He's got to get at least one go round. I think he's going to win round one off the rip. Like, I think he's just going to come out swinging. But, I mean, we'll see when he gets here, because his other battles were kind of you know.
I got hyped because I grew up like idolizing. I bought all of Cassidy's albums. Mind you, I even fucking bought the Barry and Adrian Reese shit, Bars. I even bought that shit, bro, because I just wanted to support fucking Cassidy and shit, bro. I'm a hustler. I bought Split Personality. After that, I stopped. I didn't buy Cash and stuff, but. You know what I'm saying? But back to this fucking list. Who did I stop on, bro?
I think you stopped on. You said you had the other people
Tory
that
Lanez.
You had Tory Lanez. You know, you had mentioned
The Weeknd.
Post Malone.
Oh yeah. You said one of them surprised you. I said everybody. I said Ty Dolla $ign and R. Kelly. Yeah.
Yeah. Post.
Oh, Post Malone is dope, bro. Fucking hooks, bro.
I didn't think you would listen to him like that,
bro. I have a very unique musical palette, bro. It's the same thing when I picked fucking Ed Sheeran on my shit, bro. I just don't promote everything I listen to. I listen to everything, bro. You know, Post Malone is really dope, like melody wise and stuff. Like, nobody really fucking with him, dog. Like, I'm talking about his stuff aside from you know, White Iverson and stuff. I really the Stony Project, I had that shit. Fucking I listened to the dude legit, you know what I'm saying? I thought Congratulations was dope as fuck.
Oh, hell yeah, it was. It's not better than White Iverson though.
Nah, I don't think he's had a hit that was better than White Iverson. Like, one of his singles or anything.
Yeah, White Iverson is my shit, bro. Still to this day. Saucing on you. I'm swagging on you.
Damn, dog. You sound just like him, dog.
Hey, watch out now, boy. Watch out. Stupid. Watch out, boy.
You sound like Post Malone, bro.
Asshole.
You know what a Mahogan is, bro?
You fucking asshole, bro.
Oh,
man.
Oh, man. I like the listeners though, bro. We got I said listeners.
Listeners. The listeners.
Some good listeners.
Oh, man. That shrimp was delicious.
No, these lists were dope.
Oh, man. Oh, shit. Oh, man. What a way to end the podcast. Oh, my God. My cheeks. Yeah, man, it was a good turnout. I was afraid that we were gonna have too many that were the same. I'm glad it was only a handful, and you threw in some variety at the end.
When you said Ludacris, I knew that we weren't gonna have the same. I knew we weren't gonna have the same list. I was like, get the what?
Hey, I like Ludacris, bro.
Stupid.
I like Ludacris.
I fought with Luda. But not like that. But I fought with Luda.
I think you flogged him, bro. That man got some shit.
No, I'm saying like hook wise, bro. I even had Red Light District, bro. I fought with all the albums that he had. Fucking Chicken and Beer, Incognito. What was the other one that he had? Back for the First Time.
The Theater of the Mind. What else did he have?
No, that boy, he had a big album around Chicken and Beer. It was Chicken and Beer and then the other one.
Chicken and Beer. You're not talking about Battle of the Sexes, right? No, can't be.
Fuck no.
Red Light District, I think after that was Release Therapy.
It was before that shit, bro.
Oh, you're talking about Roll Out. Word of Mouth.
Word of Mouth. There we go. Word of Mouth.
Yeah, that was the
second
one.
Was around the same time. Yeah. Fucking that, those shits were dope as fuck. I always fuck. You know what I was fucked with Ludacris? His flow. I always thought he had one of the most unique flows. You know what I'm saying? Like it was like playful but serious at the same time. It's almost like being a parody rapper but like a serious one. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like nah. Like we know he's playing around, but we know he's not playing around. As stupid as that sounds. So yeah, bro, good turnout for real. For real. I fought with this shit. That's what's up.
Yeah, I'm glad it came out this way, dog. So I don't know what we have planned for next week. I got some people coming through this Friday. I got another new guest, a friend of Martinez coming through next week. I'll keep you guys updated and shoot you guys the promotion when that gets closer. I have a little album review to do, and I've been busy with work and you know, this episode and et cetera, et cetera. So, again, you guys already know what we do at the end of the episode. Hit you guys with the respect button. Again, if you guys are new here, we appreciate you. If you guys been rocking with us, we appreciate you even more. Thank you again. My dog Chris came through again. Thank you again. Talk your shit. Give everybody your information, where they can find you at, where they can watch the episodes of the podcast.
facts. So you can follow me on TikTok and Instagram, Martinez_guy_jokes. You can follow my YouTube Over Opinionated TV, then the number one. And you can follow us on YouTube as well. All you gotta type in is The Rewind Clip. I made it, so you type in The Rewind Clip and our shit will show up. You'll see our logo on the shit. Just subscribe to the fucking channel and like and all that other shit. You feel me?
y'all already know. So stay tuned. I got a lot of stuff coming up. Chris will be back next Tuesday as usual. Got two new guests coming through. So trying to give you guys a little variety. So again, if you guys are new, we appreciate you. Any of my information, you guys already know the vibes. It's all on my podcast website. It has one link on my social, on my Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. It's just one solo link. It takes you to everywhere, even SoundCloud. Podcasts available on all platforms as well. It ain't hard to find us. Just type us in. And yeah, that's it, man. We out this bitch.
Yeah, fam.